Well. Hey, guys. We are back. This is Miss Metal Fly, and I am joined this evening with my superstar soul sister, Miss Journey Fly. You out there? Journey! Journey, are you out there? Can you hear me, Journey?
Hear me now?
Yeah, I got you. There we go. I was getting a little scared. Y'all, we're back, and we're live and on the air. Welcome to Social Butterflies Reloaded 2015. It's been a hot second. So, let's jump right into it. We didn't play any music. We're doing a abbreviated segment this evening. And Miss Journey, why don't you tell the people where you've been?
Child, first of all, let me say it's so good to be back on the air with all the shit. Okay, so for those of you who are just tuning in and don't know about the Social Butterflies and especially Miss Journey Fly, I am known to be the fanatic of the group, the radical one, the one that really doesn't filter herself. So if you guys got little kids by the radio, might want to put their asses to bed. It's about that time. So, yeah. And keeping up with things, let me just tell you what's going on with Miss Journey Fly. I am loving my life right now, Metal Fly. I'm loving it. I'm still in college, grad school, but I am thinking about switching schools because at this point I don't like the school that I'm at. It's a lot of rigmarole, a lot of bullshit. And, you know, I went out on a, I had a surgery, real brief, had a surgery, went out, did all the necessary paperwork, but they're still giving me drama. So I think that's God's way of telling me that I need to go in another direction. So you got to stay tuned for what direction that will be because I still haven't figured it out. I'm still working on it. But I was in school for licensed counseling with a specialty in trauma and crisis. So I'm not sure where, you know, I want to take it from this point. Folks trying to give me an education, like my girl Metaflow over there. But I don't know because teachers don't make no money. Sorry, teachers. But y'all don't make no cash, and I need money. Anyway.
No, we don't. That's true, hon.
And I have two little beautiful grandbabies. I think they were already here. Yeah, they probably were, because one is four and one is one. when the show went on hiatus. But they are doing well, getting big. I just love them. They're the love of my life, my joy. Meta, you don't have grandkids yet, but when you do, it is the most blessed experience in the world. And any grandmas out there, you know, and wake the Mother's Day. You guys are awesome. I love being a grandmom. I don't, you know, I say glam-mom because I'm a little young, but you know. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. And I just started a new job that I really like. I'm still working with the youth. Anybody that knows me, well, you get to know me, new listeners. I love the youth. I have a passion for the youth. It's all about the youth with me. And, you know, there's a theme because my girl Metafly over here, who wants to tell you a little bit about what she's been up to, is an educator, and it's all about the youth for her as well. So Metafly, tell the people what's going on with you.
Woohoo! Wow, y'all, we are back, and we actually went to the same university, Miss Journey, and I confirmed my master's in June. I'll be heading over to higher education. So we've done the K-12 thing for so long, but I have a college freshman who's finishing up this year, getting ready for his sophomore year. I have a new child headed to college in September, and two more years for the last two to get out. The twins will be out of here in two more years. So we're all going to be in school pretty much at the same time. That's why, because that works out with the financial aid. Let's just be honest. I'm still where I have always been in Philadelphia, and yep, the kids matter. The school that I work for, we've done outstanding work in the last couple of years, so we're doing actually pretty well, and I'm very proud of the work that we're doing. And yeah, absolutely no grandkids on the horizon for me. Thank you very much, guys. No, they got shit to do, and we ain't got time for that right now. So, no. And, Journey's grandbaby girls are just adorable. So, really, that's it with me. Oh, and I don't even know if it's been that long. I can't remember what was going on during that time anyway, but my locks are gone. They got picked out. No, you do not have to cut them off. You can't pick them out. So I got a head full of stuff here, but I think I'll be putting them back soon because I missed them. So that's where we are, and that's what we were doing. And one of the reasons why we're back is because people were, like, getting mad. They were chopping down the door trying to figure out where the hell we were.
Exactly.
We got emails, and there's entirely too much going on that we are not on the air to discuss it and throw it out there for you, whether we like it or not, whether you guys like it or not, whether we agree or disagree, because we are not always in conjunction on the air. We try to keep it real with everything that we're talking about. And, you know, you guys know what to expect from us always and always. So we always got hot topics. We always have local and national guests on. Well, tonight we're having Councilman Jordan Harris on with us talking about a few things. We always do the poetry music thing because that's how we got all of this started in the first place. Poets, producing, getting to know local area talent, putting them on, letting them share their stuff. Yep. But we got a bunch of stuff coming up.
I can't wait for them love and relationship conversations because, you know, I get sick in. And you guys can follow us on Twitter. Let me just put that out there so you can get it in, too. We are at SocialButterENC on Twitter.com. Again, that's SocialButterENC. You can also get on our Facebook page. Meta, you want to give them our Facebook page information?
Oh, yes. We are Facebook.com/ Social Butterflies, folks. It's really that easy. If you're on the Facebook right now, you can always search us up, Social Butterflies Entertainment. You'll see our little lady up there with her butterflies and the show times and phone number. You can call us tonight at 347-850-8709 and get in the queue so that you can welcome us back, cousins out, share your concerns, comments, get in on the conversation. And, you know, we also do a lot of community and culture business. So, y'all, each and every Tuesday night, also starting tonight, is Travel Tuesday. And there's stuff to win. All winners this week are going to receive a 3-day, 2-night stay wherever.
Right.
So once you win, we'll let you in on where you can travel to. I'm going to throw out tonight's Travel Tuesday question is, what islands can you visit without a U.S. passport? Throw that up in the Twitter. Throw it up on our Facebook.
It's out on the Twitter already, y'all. Join me.
Yeah. I didn't hear what you said.
I was letting them know it's already up in the Twitter, so you guys get on and get your answers in. We're going to announce the winner at 9:50 this evening. But in the meantime, we do spin a little music. So, Metafly Maestro, superstar DJ.
Yes, I think we're going to do a little Animal by Maroon 5. Y'all, we'll be back in just a minute.
Baby, I'm playing on you tonight. Hunt you down, eat you alive. Just like animals, animals, like animals move. Maybe you think that you can hide. I can smell your scent for miles. Just like animals, animals, like animals move. Baby, I'm playing. So what you try to do to me? It's like we can't stop, we're animals. Thank you.
We are. Hey.
I know that's right.
We
I
are
know
back,
that's right.
Live and fact. Oh, yes. And
hey.
We are going to. We just had some interesting chit chat during the music with Councilman Jordan Harris. He's here in Pennsylvania, and he's going to jump on with us to talk about Black Lives Matter and Black Votes Matter, because if you did not know, now you know, next Tuesday is our mayoral election for the city of
Philadelphia.
Yeah, man, it's about to be on and popping. So let me bring on Mr. Harris. Councilman Harris, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
I heard you had a long day on the Hill today.
Yeah, so we're in session in Harrisburg this week. So, the governor in March put out what I call a very bold budget that would fund schools in Pennsylvania, provide property tax relief, balance the budget while also trying to get our pension issue under control. Now that was his goal. Now comes the hard back and forth debate and negotiation to actually get us the budget by June 30th. So today was a first step in looking at the issue of property tax and property tax reduction in Pennsylvania.
Right. Well, that's what we need. There's so many elderly struggling with a lot of tax issues. Matter of fact, miles and miles and pounds, because we were managing that for them or trying to assist them in some way with at the school that I'm at, because we also deal in the community. Well, tonight, Mr. Harris, we want to talk about Black Lives Matter. I know that in 2013, Black Lives Matter, the hashtag started popping up all over the place with the death of Trayvon Martin, and I'm sure everybody remembers who that was. Strange vigilante, renegade weirdo, George Zimmerman, for the most part, stalked or hunted a kid in his neighborhood or his father's neighborhood, coming home from the store, talking to his girlfriend on the phone, just to grab some junk, and from the store was accosted and eventually killed by George Zimmerman. He pretty much ended up on trial as a dead African-American kid who couldn't defend himself and got terrible media and a really skewed view of him thrown out to the entire world. And here we are. Oh, and Mr. Zimmerman got shot in the face just now. That was a mess. So Black Lives Matter popped up then, but it really started getting a fresh emphasis in 2014 with the shooting of Michael Brown, all the way through Garner, all the way through everybody else that's popped up, and even here now with Freddie Gray in Baltimore. Who are they? They're a group of folks who are dealing with the issues of the marginalized in the African-American community, and their whole focus is to manage and deplete the systematic and intentional targeting of African-Americans, and I'm talking about everybody, transgender, women, children, the elderly, anybody of color in the United States. And the movement that they're just throwing together here is to bring back really the liberation of all of us. And Jordan, you wanted to talk too about Black Votes Matter.
Right. So, I wrote an op-ed that was published in the Inquirer on the Philadelphia Inquirer on Friday. It was published in the South Philly Review on Thursday, and a few other publications across the Commonwealth just this past week. And I dealt with the issue of Baltimore. And one of the things that I talked about is the first thing is for me, children aren't criminals. At the most, they're delinquents. I mean, we talk about children as juvenile delinquents. We don't necessarily classify them as criminals, but in many of our news outlets, that is how we typically describe black youths We'll call them criminals, while we'll call other youths troubled. We'll call other youths delinquents. We'll say other youths have mental issues. But when it comes to black children, we call them criminals. That was the first step. The second thing is I dealt with talking about the whole riot situation. Now, listen, I don't condone violence in any form. But what I do know is that, you know, Dr. King talked about riot being the voice of the unheard. And in America, we have supported riots throughout the whole world. Whenever we look at a foreign nation that we feel is under the leadership of a despot, when we see that that nation's people are being marginalized, they're being oppressed, they're being killed by their own government,
right,
they're being uneducated, we as America, we go to that country and we fund the rebels. We did it in Syria. Actually, we did it in Iraq years ago when Saddam Hussein was coming into power. We provided them with arms. So we do
right,
that
the Taliban,
worldwide.
Al-Qaeda, all of them. Yep.
We arm rebels worldwide when we see that a government is being oppressive of people. My question was, then why don't we do that with our own country? I mean,
right.
we see in cities across this nation, black men being, you know, killed by police officers. Now, there are great cops. That's not what this is about. But talking about the bad cops doesn't mean that you negate the good cops. It means you just point out the bad apples. And the reality is,
right,
you know, as black men, many of us are going to schools that are undereducating us. Because of that undereducation, many black men find themselves incarcerated. Then when they get from being incarcerated, they can't find a job, so they're either unemployed or underemployed. And then they, you know, it's this vicious cycle. So why is it that the American government, of which I'm a part of Pennsylvania state government, but I speak out about this because all over the world we have looked at those rebels and we have championed their cause. So my question in the op-ed is, why isn't America championing the cause of the struggling black man?
Well, I can dig that, but I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that it is, okay, well, we basic stuff, we know that we were built on a system of racism, and racism goes hand in hand often with capitalism, and it is an economic push to those who control that system. So there's still money to be made off the backs of folks. Like, if you take a look at how the prisons are working right now and the new ones they built in the state of Pennsylvania, as far as I'm understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but if we can't fill those beds, then we're going to owe them money. And if we owe them money, that's taken out of everybody's pocket. If we cannot keep those prisons at least at 95% capacity, which means somebody got to go to jail. Flat out here, damn. I've seen the bills where people are trying to even criminalize sagging pants. It's just a fashion statement. I'm old. We sagged in the 80s, but not like these kids do. But that's really all that is. And so criminalizing that, sending them to jail, dropping the age of when they can be arrested, sending them to jail, anything at all, truancy for their parents, anything, the pep up, the jump up of DHS, and the miscommunication between spanking and beating and abusing, sending people to jail. Folks are marginalized, they're living in crap, dealing in crap, sending them to jail. So I can see why it's not a push to help anybody of color. They got to fill the jails. They got to make money. And how else are they going to do that if there's nobody being arrested?
Right. Now here's my point in what I wrote along some of the lines you're talking about. But my point was a warning because, you know, Baltimore is not it. I mean, there are cities across the Commonwealth. I mean, cities across the country, I should say, that are situated the same, where you have undereducation, where you have high poverty, where you have high incarceration of black males, and you have all of those type of things, which I consider you know, the ingredients necessary for this kind of riot activity. So when you look across the country, you know, D.C., Philadelphia, Detroit, there are many other cities that are situated like Baltimore. So, you know, my op-ed was a warning to say, listen, until we address these issues, all of these cities are susceptible to the same action. Now, the thing about it for me is I think a little differently. I don't necessarily think sometimes people are racist. I think at the most people are bigots. But beyond racism and bigotry, I think people are clueless. And the reason why I say that is because many times we segregate ourselves into our own separate circles. There was an article in Aldea News, which is the Hispanic newspaper in Philadelphia, and Aldea said that 75% of white people only have white people in their social networks. 75%.
Yeah.
So that was shocking. It didn't say 75% are people that you know, but it said in your social network. And I think we all know that we have social networks that are some of us that are large, where we have people in our network that we don't even know. So for you to have a social network where you don't even have anybody of any type of diversity, you know, it's problematic, because what that means is that people, in many instances, have no diversity of thinking. So when you look at some folks, they are just clueless of the experience of anybody outside of their self. So when we live in that type of world and you elect those people get into power, and then you wonder why they conduct themselves in the way that they do, because, you know, many of them, they have no type of diversity in their thinking. And because of that, I think a lot of times we find ourselves as African-Americans not getting what is necessary and what's due. I can tell you, being in Harrisburg, that there are people that I serve with in the House of Representatives who I think, you know, are good-intentioned people. They are just clueless to the plight and the pain of black folks, particularly African-Americans, in many of our urban epicenters.
Would you say that some of those folks, all those people can't be white that you're speaking of?
No, not all of them. Some of them, you know, just of different socioeconomic classes, that they just don't deal with other folks in other classes, and therefore they don't understand the pain, the plight. And honestly, not just black people, but just poor people in general. And that's a problem for me, and that's, you know, it's one of the things I look at. You know, next week, Philadelphia is having an election where we would choose a new mayor. We will vote for all 17 members of city council. We will vote for more than 10 judges. We will vote for Supreme Court. We will vote for Court of Common Pleas, as well as voting for city commissioner. And, you know, my question becomes for black America, black Philadelphia, what are those issues that we're looking at, and how are we judging those people who are running for those offices? And, you know, for me, it's problematic because if you look through the lens of the media, in my opinion, in this election cycle, the media has been extremely biased. For example, just last week, there was an article written about a forum that was held on homelessness. And the article pointed out that Senator Anthony Williams and Doug Oliver did not attend the homelessness forum. The article pointed out that Nelson Diaz was late, and that T. Milton Street was late, and that Lynn Abraham was late. And, of course, it pointed out that Councilman Kenny was there on time. What the article did not say is that Tony Williams, Doug Oliver, Milton Street, and Nelson Diaz were at another forum, a forum that was organized by every African-American black fraternity in Philadelphia. So that was the Alphas, the Kappas, the Qs, the Sigmas, and the Iotas, the Masons, the Shriners, the Mayor's Commission on African American Males, and the Father's Day Rally. It was the only forum this season that dealt specifically with issues facing African American males, and the forum was broadcast on Praise 103.9, Old School 100.3, and Boom 107.9. So through that lens, if you look at it, you see that the media talked about a forum on homelessness where these candidates either didn't show or were late. But what they didn't say is that there was a forum that same night, the same time, on issues dealing with African-American males, and the two white candidates did not show up at all.
Okay. Yep.
So when you look, so now here's the thing. This isn't, it's not about being racist or but we can't be afraid to talk about race. The reality is there aren't any African-American political writers in Philadelphia that work for a major newspaper. So when
you're
look
right,
at the writer, so when you look at the writer of that story, that writer might not even know what Alpha Phi Alpha is or Phi Beta Sigma or Kappa Alpha Psi because through their lens, they're not a part of that community at all. But in my opinion, the former African-American males was probably one of the most important forms of the election season, seeing how high the issues of African-American males are, that African-American males are typically at the top of most negative indicators, not the positive ones. When you look at dropout rate amongst males, African-Americans are at like 50%. Hispanic are at like 60%. So you look at all those negative indicators, black males are at the top. But through the lens of the media, the story was told that these guys didn't attend the homelessness forum. The story wasn't told about the forum organized by black males for black males. You know, but that's why it's important for African Americans to really focus on telling our own story. So stations like WURD, newspapers like the Tribune, newspapers like Aldea, they are extremely important when we talk about getting the message out and telling a story from a different perspective. Because I don't fault a person who grew up, in suburbia, going to a school with a lack of diversity. I don't fault them for having their perspective and writing from their views and their vantage point. I can't fault them. But what we can fault is the structure or the institution for not having people with different vantage points and different diversity.
Right. Now, I can dig that. And then, too, with that being said, let's jump over to the before we head to the music. I found that, Gurney, and you please let me know, when we discuss Black Lives Matter, for instance, it is not in any way a call for forget everybody else is kicked to the curb, you're not important, you don't matter. It isn't any of that at all, because what I saw when Black Lives Matter popped up was a lot of all lives matter. And that's like twofold, because if we're discussing Black Lives Matter, it in no way says that all lives don't matter. It just means we're not talking about everybody right now.
We're not talking about you right now.
And that right there, I think, is like it's a bit of a slap in the face to a lot of folks. It's the same thing that happens when black women try to have a discussion about what is ailing them, what is disappointing them, what they're struggling with. It becomes, all women matter or any of that. I'm sorry, go ahead, Jeremy.
No, I was agreeing with you.
Where are you at with that, Councilman Harris?
Well, so here's the problem. I posted on my Facebook a couple of days. I can't remember what I was posting, but I hashtagged Black Lives Matter, Black Votes Matter, something else. And, somebody did write on my Facebook, all lives matter. And, she questioned the motives of me saying Black Lives Matter. She wondered, was it racist to say Black Lives Matter? And, for me, the answer is simple, is no. I do understand that all lives matter. And quite honestly, we talk about all lives all the time, but we don't have concentrated conversation on black lives. And, black lives are part of all lives. So I don't see why it's offensive to people to want to talk about a subsection of all lives matter being Black Lives Matter. And I think as African Americans, we have to push back against that to make people understand that we can talk about Black Lives Mattering without contradicting ourselves you know, with regards to all lives mattering. And here's the issue. Everybody else is able to do it. My Irish brothers and sisters can focus on what's happening with people in their culture. My Italian brothers and sisters can do it. My Jewish brothers and sisters can do it. You know, everybody can do it, except when it comes to African Americans talking about the pain and the plight of Black people in America. And my thing is, we can't allow people to shame us into not wanting to talk about our own issues. We can't allow people to shame us into not being proud of our heritage. We
right.
can't allow that.
Yep.
And I feel like sometimes we kowtow, and we concede our power because we allow people to make us feel bad about being concerned about Black and brown people. And I don't think we should do that because nobody else does that.
Nobody else does that.
So as African Americans, we have a right to talk about issues that are germane to African Americans. Because, you know, as an elected official, I have to talk about issues that are important to my district. So when my Vietnamese brothers and sisters come to me about a situation that affects specifically their community, I talk to them about that issue. When my Italian brothers and sisters come to me about an issue that affects their community, I talk specifically about their community. All I'm
right.
saying is that African Americans have a seat at that table as well to talk about issues that are germane to us.
I can dig it. And you guys, I want to say thank you to Councilman Jordan Harris, my buddy Ace Boom Coon, that's my pal, Rowdy. And I appreciate you so much for coming back on to our first episode after
you.
A long hiatus, my God. So, Jordan, we're about to jump into some music. And I want to thank you for giving us your time.
No problem. Y'all be safe. And make sure that everybody goes out and votes in this election on May 19th. It's an important election. I can't tell you who to vote for mayor, for council, none of those things. I will tell you that I am voting for Senator Anthony Williams. I can't tell you who to vote for, but definitely go out and make sure your voice is heard next week.
All right.
Word. That's
it.
Y'all, we're going to jump into a little bit of D'Angelo.
Should've went across that line. Yeah.
Hey, folks. And we are back. Sorry about that. We are just getting back to the new we're just getting back to the new board, so we are back on. And again, I like to
thank you. Sorry about that, y'all.
I know.
We get to talking
my
on the
bad.
Background.
We're trying to work it out. We getting old. Now, y'all, in this next little segment, we're going to talk about our girl Hillary. The jury is still out for me, but I know Journey has some strong feelings about Ms. Clinton. The jury is still out. All I can say is that she is qualified. Other than that, I have to think about it.
All right, y'all. So I need y'all to call in 1-347-850-8709. Give it the social butterflies. We are going to talk about Hillary Clinton right now. We talked earlier about Black Lives Matter and change and voting the right people in, votes matter. And I'm a firm believer that we need to vote the right people in office. I believe that people jumped down Barack's back, but we didn't vote the right people in to support Barack. And, you know, that's a whole other thing. You know, I could go down and dirty with that, too. But we're going to talk about Hillary. Here's my take. Meta and I were talking. That's what took us so long. So, again, sorry for that long pause. Also, join me on Social Butterflies Twitter and get in where you fit in. Yeah, I'm plugging everything. But I am all for Hillary Clinton. I will walk the streets, knock on doors. I will phone bank because I feel like it's time for change. I want my granddaughters to see a new face in the White House and just maybe a face that looks like them. I feel passionate about the fact that while I may not agree with everything in politics, who does? And I know we were talking about the drone situation and that being one of your issues. Well, my thing is this. We got to get these folks by any means necessary. It's always going to be casualties and war. So if we send a drone in, let's say, Iraq or Iran or something, and we try to protect our own, then there's always going to be a casualty. And I'm not saying anybody's life should be taken, but it's no different from them sending their terrorist Unabombers in a crowded mall and blowing everybody up. So I feel like, okay, maybe that's not an issue that you might agree with her, but she's for everything that we're for. And on top of that, she looks like me. And I think it would make for a better situation because women have a way of dealing with situations that's totally different from me.
I don't know. I think...
Come on, give it to me.
Like I said... I think she's qualified. She graduated from, I mean, she's qualified in the way presidents are supposed to be qualified. She
okay.
worked on their campaign. She graduated from Yale, at the law school. She
ran a White House
while
her
husband
was in it.
Wesley,
while her husband was in office. Come on.
Yeah, her husband was in office. She was the first lady for 8 damn years. She was senator of New York. She's our Secretary of State right now. I got it. Got all that covered.
Mm-hmm.
But she did a lot of stuff with Mothers and Infant Health. She did a lot of stuff with on the campaign for HIV and how to reduce the spread of HIV, human rights, women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
I am sure she did the whole bit with equal pay. I got that. And, she's for the LGBT community. She's not down. Now, I will say she is not down for this bullshit they keep throwing up about how to reduce your access to health care and other shit and other types of discrimination under the law because of your religious affiliation. That shit is horseshit. I guess she gets economic inequality, though her and her husband between them probably make more than everybody in the whole wide world.
Okay, yeah, so
people that don't
anyway.
Like her whole thing about vaccination, she's not down with not having your kids vaccinated. I'm still up in their air on that whole situation, period, especially when autism comes into play and some other things, but I do know that if your child's never been vaccinated and you head out of the country with that kid, you about one plane ride away from getting whatever or coming back with whatever. She's down with gun control. She knows
yes,
the criminal
hey,
justice
system
is fucked
awesome.
Up.
And I think she deserves a chance to be in office. And I'd rather
Michelle Obama.
Hey, I would support any woman that decided to stand up and say, we need to start teaching our young girls that they can have anything in this world is obtainable. I love Black Girls Rock because I feel like they embody everything that we want to teach our girls when they show these role models. And why not say to our young girls, you can be the president of the United States. This is not, back in the day, a man ruling things, that was cute. Chivalry, they opened the door, they ran, they sat at the head of the dinner table, went out. But this is a new day and age. We got women, single mothers, throwing down, doing a damn thing. And if we can see that and visualize that, in office, in a power position, not no Beyonce position, but I'm talking about in some real true life, this is what you fight hard for in your life. This is why you educate yourself. This is why you carry yourself with morals and values, then why the hell not?
I mean, I'm not arguing. It's just a couple, I don't know. It's like, well, me, you know me and politicians anyway, Obama, he is our president. But there's some stuff that I just can't get with, and I don't agree with just voting for people just because they're Black. I think that's fucking ridiculous. But I'm that precedent was set. Okay, there's some stuff I still don't get. So with all of them, to me, there's a grain of salt, or like a pound of salt. Let's make it a pound, not no goddamn grain. So
okay.
All of it is messy. All of it is ridiculous. This whole thing that just popped up with their foundation and whether or not they're taking money that they should or should not be taking and who they're connected with, and all politicians are connected to every other politician. So a lot of foolishness is going to come up about her running. But then when I look at, like, fucking Jeb Bush, are you serious? No way in the world. Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, Sarah Palin, all these fucking idiots. There's no way in the world I would vote for any of them.
What
and then you got Rand Paul.
Carson? I don't even know how these cats that's running. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound a little, you're fading out a little bit.
All right, hold on. Let me take this earpiece. Personally, not the Ben Carson who is running. I don't know half these cats that's just popping off the Woolworth all of a sudden want to be president. My thing is this.
Yeah.
You cannot talk in the office and wave a magic wand and expect things to just go perfect. It doesn't work that way. Because you're cleaning up mess of 47 freaking presidents before you. And I'm sure the number of
offices
is saying. So, therefore, you want the best candidate. That's why we got so much bullshit going on, because we don't vote in the best candidate for the job. We vote in because they're popular. We vote in because they have money. We vote in because they drive a nice car. Or they, you know, ran into a burning building and saved the little old lady. Or they were an actor and all of a sudden decided to get in politics. We need to now educate ourselves on research and really dig down and dirty, because Barack came up. So we got to choose somebody. And if we don't choose right, people of color or minorities are going to suffer.
Well, see, I get why people don't want to vote, but honestly, I don't agree that they should not. And it's a part of organizing. I think people expect us not to vote so that we don't have nothing to say later on. I think that the same way Obama, just I'm going to say it again, I don't believe that African Americans are the reason why Obama is in office. I don't believe that. I believe that a huge chunk of young white kids and young white young adults looked at this man and was like, this is the key. He is the one. This is how we're going to play this out. That's how he got in, because we came out in huge numbers, but absolutely not in the numbers that we push the limit, not in the numbers that move things to our favor. One of the reasons why he had such a hard time the second go round is because the smaller elections, we didn't show up for that shit because we thought for 5 seconds, oh, we in, we're done. I ain't going out. We watch the TV. We already did that part. I got to watch Scandal. I got to do this. Okay, but that's not how that works. If you in, you in for a penny or a pound. So he didn't get all the backup he could have got for the second go-round, and they, you know, doing treason and shit right now, right in front of the president's face, and he still will not put his fucking foot down, but I guess that's who the man is. So I would say if Hillary Clinton did make it in.
Done. You niggas clean this shit up later because I ain't got fucking time. And let's keep it moving. And I don't blame them because that's what the rest of them did. It's like, you know, you coming to the end of your scholastic year. You were in 12th grade. You a senior. What you do? You start loafing off. And you're getting comfortable because guess what? I'm going on prom next week and graduation the week after. And y'all can kiss my red
and I'm
ass
out.
After that.
Yeah.
And I'm out.
Well,
so I get that.
I would still put my foot down. I mean, with him and where he is right now, for real, I would be less worried about somebody trying to assassinate him or hurt his family. Just put your foot down, dude. Just be like, fuck y'all niggas. This is what I'm going to do. I don't care what you say. And this is how we're going to work. We're going to battle. We're going to fight it out to the last bitter second. But that's not how he's
going to turn around and do that. Hit him with the what? Maybe like a bow, 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 bow. Let him wear himself
out. I don't see it happening.
And keep it moving or not. He's going to charismatically walk out that place the same way he walked in and get paid for the rest of his motherfucking life. So you ain't got to like me because I'm good. But as far as Hillary, I was
and that was, I will say, that was hilarious. He was like, well, I did win the second election. There's not much they can do about it.
Okay, exactly, exactly.
Word.
So what
well,
you got?
Now, well, y'all, the question was, what are the five islands that, for Travel Tuesday, what were the five islands? What were the five islands that you can travel to without a U.S. passport? And I'm looking on the Facebook. I don't see an answer yet. So
and I don't have no answer on Twitter.
Somebody will jump on and let us know and what the deal is so that they can win this 3-day, 2-night vacation. You guys stop fucking around. Somebody better post it up there quick because it's getting, kind of hectic. Any shout-outs on the Twitter, Miss Journey?
No shout-outs. Let me check.
And she's looking.
I don't see nobody
That's
out
the
here.
Question,
I'm going to need y'all to get on at Social Butter ENT. I know it's our first night back on, but every Tuesday we will be doing a Tuesday travel trivia question. So I'm going to need you guys to get on.
Yeah.
I'm going on that trip with y'all. This is the whole purpose of us doing it. We can jump in your suitcase.
And there is a trip too. Yep.
Okay, there you go. So I'm ready. My bag is packed. So what's up? Let's get it in. And I don't have any responses yet. But we on the air tonight till 10:30. So you guys have some time to call in. In the meantime, I'm waiting for this next topic of discussion. So I guess we can throw some music on and come on back.
Yep. So when we come back, y'all, we're going to be talking about the pedophile style. And, you know, before I vomit in my mouth, let me just push this button for Stronger by Miss, well, the remake, Miss Marsha Ambrosius.
Think about you, so now and then I drink about you, about trying to numb the pain with you. Like abuse, what's the use of the bumps and bruises if we moving towards the losing end? If I'm losing you, then I refuse to win. Went from friendship with benefits, you losing your innocence, I can help you reminisce. We in Madrid on some 007 shit, we off the grid. Caught in moments of pleasure, we never thought we'd ever suffer the consequences. The problem is, it's a problem trying to kick this addiction. We probably can't resolve.
solve it without causing some friction. This is nonfiction, the definition of a true story. I'm like, fuck pride, baby, that's the kind of shit you do for me. Suicide is a suicide, I'm ready to die, you down to ride or what?
I won't pretend.
Well, Dirty. Hey, guys, we are back, and we have about 1 minute and 5 seconds left in the show. There are a couple things we need to let you know. We got about 60 seconds left in the show. We want to give a shout-out to Jordan Harris for jumping on to talk about us. We didn't have an opportunity to talk about the Fetophile Doll, so we'll pop that over to next week. The winners of Travel Tuesday, we're going to have to do next week because we didn't get people jumping in on time. And you can reach us at socialbutterent2015@gmail.com. Social Butterflies. You can find us on Facebook. And please email us if you have anything you want to say or want to do. Journey, can you give them the Twitter?
Twitter is at SocialButterENT, SocialButterflies on Twitter.com. That's Twitter.com/SocialButterENT. Join us next week. We're going to have a great show. It'll be a little longer. Thank you for joining us for our first reloaded.
Love you. Bye.
Peace.
All right, homie, that's it.